Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor or an institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uyster. Today is the seventh episode of an underlying series in partnership with Morningstar South Africa and their head of investment, Sean Neertlang, called Mind Over Markets. It's also the last one for the year. We'll be back in the second week of January to provide you with more of the latest insights on monthly investment trends and explore key market developments, whether it's equities, fixed income, commodities, or alternative investments. But for now, we are going to talk about the market's strong reaction to Donald Trump's presidential win and the Republican seat sweep in the Senate after the recent U.S. elections. Control over the House of Representatives remains uncertain at this stage. U.S. markets were especially buoyant following the election results, with both equity futures and the U.S. dollar gaining over 2% shortly after the results were made public. That broad-based U.S. strength has largely persisted over the 3 weeks post-election, with the Morningstar U.S. Growth Index rallying 12% and U.S. value also posting returns of around 8%. While some sectors like the U.S. healthcare sector have lagged the strong upward trend of U.S. equity, the general consensus is that a Trump presidency will continue to be supported of U.S. risk assets, despite valuations not being particularly attractive. But trade policy is a different story. Once Trump comes into office, tariffs are expected to be a key part of his policy toolkit, being quite onerous on countries like China. Chinese equities are still up for the year following unexpected stimulus announcements in September, but the more tech-heavy Hang Seng has declined by more than 3% post-US election. If Trump's last term in office is anything to go by, then we are heading for another wild ride over the next few months. But if we are to expect more of the same, what does this mean for the US and other countries for that matter? How are global equity, fixed income and currency markets likely to be affected? And what, if anything, can be done to ensure portfolios are Trump-proof with him coming into the office in January next year? To answer or to help me answer these questions, I have Sean Neertlang, Head of Investments at Morningstar South Africa, back in the studio. Welcome back, Sean.
Thanks, Ruan. Looking forward to this discussion.
The first thing I'd like to know is, how does one go about planning in an environment like this? When we last spoke, we briefly touched on the election, but knowing now that Trump will be taking over, does it eliminate some of the uncertainty in the market?
So, Ruan, I think that's yes and no. I think yes, because the number of, let's call it, potential policy scenarios and outcomes with Republicans emerging are lower. But I would say no, because, you know, while it's expected for Trump to follow largely an America First framework as a policy, it's no surprise that as a person, he's pretty unpredictable. So, you know, in a scenario where, for example, the Democrats emerged, we would have largely expected the status quo, where policy, again, is more driven by the party and their constituents than a single person. I think with Trump, while we know that certain sectors or industry are likely to be, let's call it, net winners and losers, the path to getting there can actually be quite volatile. So if you look at the recent actions, for example, where he's talking about 25% tariffs on Mexico as well as Canada, again, both of which relate to border control. I think, you know, this type of rhetoric and this type of, I suppose, speech is likely to persist. Is he actually likely to go ahead with those types of policies and those types of extreme moves, particularly punitive towards something or a country like Canada? It's probably more likely a tool or a warning mechanism just to keep things in check. I think in this type of environment, the main challenge for investors is effectively filtering out the noise. So you have a president that has previously shown that he's happy to use, let's call it, social media to share potentially market-shifting views. And I think the uncertainty that we still find ourselves in largely stems from, let's call it, his unpredictability as a person, as much as what it does from, you know, not being able to necessarily fact check his, let's call it, public musings.
Sean, what are you expecting in terms of Trump's policy? Let's say direct winners and losers in terms of countries or regions. And can there be any indirect policy spillover effects that could be unintentional?
Sure. So maybe just a disclaimer here again. I think, you know, trying to guess what Donald Trump may or may not do is a bit of a fool's errand. So I think what we try to do at Morningstar is very much think about, you know, those probabilities of his expected actions. And then we also try to, you know, make some type of judgments in terms of what we've already observed. So I think what we do know, and it's no surprise, it's going to be a resurgence of America First. That shouldn't surprise anybody. So on the surface, that's massively positive for the US, and on balance, net negative for effectively everyone else. I think there are varying degrees to which countries outside the US are likely to be affected. So US allies, and especially developed market partners, will potentially be relatively better off than countries directly opposed to the US. However, even in that US allies group, I think emerging markets are likely to be worse off than their, let's call it, developed market peers. So I think if we look at policies, for example, higher tariffs as a policy tool will be especially hard in emerging markets. So China, again, will be a key market to watch. And that BRICS group has also expanded. So what will be interesting to see over the next couple of months is how individual relationships within that grouping, how they actually set up and have negotiations and discussions with the US and Trump. I think in terms of spillover effects, that's an interesting question. And I think, you know, there's potentially a high probability of so-called currency wars here. I think, you know, most countries would want to protect themselves in a tariff environment like this. So that could potentially be part of the Chinese approach in terms of maybe devaluing the yuan to make exports more competitive. Another unintended, you know, I suppose, spillover here is that tariffs could actually be counterproductive, where ultimately U.S. consumers and corporates end up paying the cost of the higher tariffs. And then I think the other one to watch here in the context of markets is that companies, particularly those with a global footprint, with exposure to, let's call it, non-dollar or foreign currencies, there's also an additional knock-on effect to their revenues and margins from their currencies being depreciated. So I think the policy tool there that Trump could potentially use to alleviate some of that in the short term is lower corporate taxes, but it's a fairly difficult balancing act to get all of that right.
Let's dive into asset allocation and portfolio construction. Taking more of a look into global equities, are there any regions, countries, or sectors that you think will directly benefit from Trumponomics? What would investors be most inclined to look for investable opportunities purely off the back of his presidency? And then can you maybe contrast that, how that would have looked differently if there was a Democrat victory?
Yeah, everyone. So I think if you look at a global opportunity set, again, just you know, coming back to the previous point, I think the main beneficiary here is the US. So within the US, if we look at those equity markets in particular, I think if you look at US technology stocks and companies that have largely been leading the charge on artificial intelligence that are already cash flow positive and profitable will continue to do well, at least in the short term. Those companies are not especially cheap, but I do think, you know, those are the type of stocks and the type of companies that benefit potentially from lower corporate taxes and the like. I also think, you know, the outcome in terms of the Republicans winning this election would largely have been the same even if the Democrats emerged there. Both parties, you know, were really advocating for some type of regulation in that space. But I do think it's going to be net positive for technology stocks, at least in the short term. I think another, I suppose, part of the market to look at there is U.S. energy, which again doesn't screen to us as particularly cheap or attractive, but it's likely to be a big beneficiary of, you know, Trump's got a very heavy drill policy, and midstream energy more particular. So I think those two parts of the U.S. market will continue to run. One more to maybe add there is U.S. small caps. So I think those tax breaks or lower corporate taxes will be net positive on that side. And then I think if you look at markets that are likely to stay under pressure, China, like we've already mentioned, I think here higher tariffs would be largely detrimental to that economy, despite, you know, valuations there being cheap. So we're living in a world, for example, where there are developed markets and emerging markets that look really attractive on a fundamental basis. What you've got to try to do is try to balance those fundamentals out with, I suppose, the short-term sentiment in markets that's likely to still skew towards the US.
Well, let's move away from equity markets across to over to bonds, fixed income, commodities, and then maybe more speculative investments like gold and Bitcoin. What should investors be looking out for here? Is there anything you would explicitly be looking to avoid?
So I think the market that we're most interested in looking at, just as an outcome of the election, is pretty much fixed income and US treasuries and bonds in particular. I think the potential inflationary impact from Republican parties can have a for the Republican Party can be quite pronounced in this type of environment. So, you know, it puts us in an environment where if inflation, you know, remains elevated, there's a potential scenario where the Fed either halts or slows the pace at which they are planning to cut rates. And again, these proposed tax cuts puts the Fed in a particularly challenged position. So where budget deficits increase and borrowing needs to increase. What you're likely to see from that is that it'll put upward pressure on bond yields. So I think, you know, bond investors would be somewhat cautious and circumspect at this point in time. We did see a bit of a sell-off in bonds, you know, post the Republicans and Trump emerging. So that will definitely be one to watch for us. The other part that's also going to be interesting is credit. As an asset class, it will largely price off, let's call it benchmark bond rates. And with spreads quite tight at this point in time, that'll be another one which we would, I suppose, be a bit more cautious on. I wouldn't say avoid, but it's certainly, if you look at fundamentals in terms of where spreads are, an asset class that we'd like to we'd want to watch. The other assets, I suppose, like you mentioned, Bitcoin and gold are somewhat more speculative. It's very difficult there to take a view fundamentally, but you are in an environment where you could potentially see both of those assets rallying quite hard. And then I'd say the ones that we'd be the most circumspect on are probably commodities as a broad basket, and that probably brings South Africa into the mix, where it's highly leveraged to China. So I think, you know, the first part of next year is going to be interesting in terms of what that market looks like. But I think, again, in this type of environment where there's a massive amount of uncertainty, there are also likely to be opportunities. So we wouldn't directly avoid any assets, and we'd largely be looking for anything that is excessively sold off.
Sean, South Africa is certainly not immune to its own political soap operas. While things appear more settled now, South Africa is certainly not immune to its own political soap operas. While things appear more settled now, we've also seen very nationalist ideals being promoted by populist parties trying to tap into disgruntled voter bases. What are the likely implications for South Africa as a whole, especially with the new government of national unity or coalition government rather? And what should we expect in terms of the impact on markets?
Yeah, Ruan, that's a really good question. I think, you know, at the government level, I think it's going to be important just to see the strength of the alliance in terms of the government of national unity. I think South Africa, you know, is riding a wave of exuberance from an election result, which was massively positive for the country. I think what's going to be the litmus test for South Africa is they are very much aligned to the BRICS grouping and the BRICS cohort. And that cohort does include Russia and China, who are directly opposed to the US and some US policies. So I do think that in the short term, you know, South Africa is going to need to choose allegiances. And I think that could potentially cause potential fractures in the government of national unity. I think what's likely to happen is a more pragmatic approach where we look to largely consolidate the gains from our election outcomes. But that is going to be one which is going to be key to watch, especially with, I suppose, the former ruling party in the ANC still very much fractured and still having some element of factionalism riding through there. If you look at the market itself, I think the one market or the one part of the market we'd most be watching and looking to is, again, resources. And again, if you look at those base metals, I think a lot of that is very much tied to what happens in China. And I think that the rest of the SA complex, if you have a look at industrials and you also have a look at financials, we still think those are attractive. South African government bonds still do pay really attractive yields, so we would still favor those. Something which we'd be mindful of, again, is if we found that inflation was stickier than what's expected to be globally, that would probably cause some overhang in terms of the South African environment. So bonds, you know, if you're looking at the yields you're able to buy them at today, would still be very attractive. But it probably, again, because the Fed would be slow in terms of reducing, I suppose, interest rates in that environment, we'd probably find that the Saab has less room to move in terms of lowering interest rates in South Africa.
Sean, let's put this all together. What does a Trump presidency mean for building and positioning client investment portfolios? And maybe look at this and in terms of both global and domestic investors.
So I think on the global side, Ruan, particularly for dollar-based portfolios, it's important to not take too big a bet, either for or against the US. I think, you know, a conclusion which might not be completely correct is in a Trump-led world, that investors need to be overweight the US and overweight the US dollar. If we look at the long-run evidence, presidents and, I suppose, political parties don't really have a sustainable influence in terms of market and portfolio returns. So fundamentals do matter at a certain point in time. And I think that's important for investors to always pay attention to. So if you are a dollar-based investor, it's important to maintain considered exposure to the US, both the equity market and the fixed market, and also to make sure that there are no large unintended currency bets being taken. But I always think it's important to build a balanced and a holistic portfolio. So there are parts of the global opportunity set on equities and also in fixed income that it's important for investors to maintain an allocation to. So maintaining a balanced portfolio that doesn't really lead to sort of one directional bets is most important. I would say in the short term, they're managing and being cautious on dollar underweights is probably the most important, given the propensity of the dollar to run fairly hard despite valuation levels. And I'd say the same would hold for South Africa. I would say the additional lever that I would bring in there is make sure you invested in a mandate that's appropriate for your ability and willingness to take risk. But South African portfolios have the natural hedge of offshore and domestic. So a combination of government bonds plus SA equities, which in aggregate are still well priced, again provides an opportunity to pick up yield through the local market. And the global exposure pretty much allows investors to tap into sentiment-driven markets in the short term, but in the long term still position them to achieve their investment goals.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And as we navigate these uncertain times, staying informed and ahead of the curve is more important than ever. Thank you, Sean, for joining us for another episode of Mind Over Markets with Morningstar. We look forward to meeting with you again in 2025 for another in-depth discussion and some actionable insights. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Money Markets and Mastermind with me, editor Ruan Uister, and my producer, Alan Walsh from the CityWire Studios production team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts and iHono.fm. All CityWire South Africa podcasts and videos are also available on our website. Go register and have a look at our wealth of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.